Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Conspiracy, which can be heard Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock on Rumble, Rockfin, and now on YouTube, and my ex, which is at Guard Goldsmith. So we're going to go back in time to Earth Day, look at its origins, some of the fallacies behind it, and some of the really obnoxious, pernicious, anti-freedom, and of course, if you're a fan of the Constitution, unconstitutional moves of the federal government just over the past few years, but of course always stemming from various strains of philosophy that can actually be traced all the way back to Plato. Thanks for listening, everybody. Let's dig in. Okay, let's get rolling, everybody, with you know what? It's time for the big story!
The big story! The big story! The big story! The big story!
This would not have passed without Donald Trump.
But oh, it's true, I believe it. I gotta run for shelter, gotta run for safety. It's true, I believe it. Gotta cool this anger for the mess we have made. So long ago, you were my love, oh my love.
Oh, that sounds so good, doesn't it? I like that. On a nice afternoon, you know, you get to hear a little Cool in the Gang, and it makes you feel that much cooler. All right. Well, this is, of course, Earth Day, so we have to celebrate, dance to the music. And we start off with Cool in the Gang telling us a little bit about Earth Day. So what shall I do for you for this first presentation of tonight's Liberty Conspiracy extravaganza? What has the staff put together for us? Well, of course, since I take only commands from my Russian overlords, it's time for us to talk about criticism of Joe Biden on Earth Day. Hooray! Yay! Oh, this is great. Earth Day 2024. Biden announces a $7 billion solar energy grant package. Not going to Ukraine, however. I know. You must be very disappointed. I know. And 2,000-member Climate Corps jobs. Yes, we heard that that was coming. I got to mention that last year for MRC TV, the Climate Corps. But the new $7 billion in federal grants, I just don't know. I can't keep up. It's amazing. Here it is, April 22nd. Oh, boy. President Joe Biden on Monday announced a $7 billion federal grant package that will supply more than 900,000 low and moderate income homes. Now, how do they measure low and moderate income homes? Just want to give you a quick reminder. When it comes to the earned income tax credit, when Barack Obama was going into his second term, I believe, I remember Gene Shaheen was running for Senate. It was around that time that they redefined poor. Yeah, the new definition of poor were people on the lower margins of what were termed middle income earners. And of course, the term class doesn't really apply in the United States because historically the United States never had a feudal system or a caste system like India or like Europe did in the preceding. And so there isn't really any class. So it's just up to, of course, the definers of truth and words in government to tell us who are the lower class, who are the upper class, who are the middle class. And it just depends on what is politically expedient, right? Yes, let's turn their political frowns upside down and redefine another word here by the electric fire. All right. So it just depends. So, of course, they redefined it. And Barack Obama and the Democrat Jean Shaheen running for U.S. Senate from New Hampshire. And she's down there now. First time I ever spoke to her, she hung the phone up on me. Ha ha. Awesome. as you can tell, I'm a fairly, you know, pleasant guy. You think about the other side of that human coin, and you've got Gene Shaheen. Believe me, yes, tails up, that's for sure. So, she is tough to get along with, and I try to get along with everybody. So, I even went and spoke to the teacher who threw me in a closet when I was in seventh grade and forgave her. So, just keep in mind, that's how bad Gene Shaheen is. She hates me. So, anyway... Oh, man, I'll have to go down and see if I can visit her office sometime. Put my feet up on the, you know, just act really obnoxious, just mildly obnoxious in the office. You know, like belch a lot and like blow bubbles and chewing gum, take the gum, put it on a chair and stuff. Like open up a can of soda or whatever and like spill it. You know, what? I don't know. Just keep talking to the secretary, keep bugging him. Just become a real, like, mild nuisance. Oh, I'll be back. Keep coming back every few days. Sorry, I missed my appointment. Call by the wrong names. Like the secretary's name is Jill. You call her like Bill. Hey, Bill. What? Sorry. So anyway. So, yeah. So they redefined the so-called poor. The working poor. And then that allowed them to then say, we are going to expand the earned income tax credit to apply to people who are actually like, I don't know, whatever above what the old poverty line was. And then they claimed they were giving people a tax break. And Barack Obama said, I cut taxes. No, you didn't cut taxes. He didn't cut taxes. And Gene Shaheen said the same thing. I cut taxes for working Americans. Really? Yeah, sweetie. I certainly did, Moran Flake. Oh, you did? Yeah, it was in the form of the earned income tax credit. Oh, you mean that redistribution of wealth that is supposedly money that's taken from your paycheck tax for Social Security and Medicare, but you forward paid it and you still promised it to come in the future, so you're promising to double pay that earned income tax credit?
Oh, yeah.
That's not a tax break. That's a subsidy.
Well, sweetie, I mean, you know, they might die early. You know, what if they get, you know, a you-know-what in the shoulder or something like that, you know? Fanchini Ouchie, well, he's, you know, he, you want to get your money early. You know what I'm saying, sweetie? Brand Blake? Lucky Charm?
Okay, thank you, Barack. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's because when he was running for president, he was a senator, some reporter person in Michigan, she got really upset because he was surrounded by a bunch of people. And hey, I'm giving Barack some slack here, right? She got upset because she was trying to get a question, and Barack was surrounded by all his fans in the press pool, you know, like, oh, Barack, I love you, I'm drooling, huh? And she tried to get a question, and he goes, oh, hold on there, just hold on there, sweetie. And she goes, well, this sweetie never got a question in. Ah! She got all irate, you know.
I can imagine, like, if he responded, don't get your panties in a bunch there, sweetie.
So I, as I mentioned a few weeks ago on the show, I used to do a live radio show here in New Hampshire. When we had this spurious phone call from a guy called B.O. And it was me recorded on the phone, and then we spliced it all together. And the phone thing sort of covers up the impression a little bit, makes it sound a little better and stuff. So it was Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah, it's me, Barack.
Like, oh, Senator Obama, how are you?
Well, I just want to apologize to that woman. Called her sweetie. But, it's a habit. Sort of like belching or passing gas. I do it a lot. Like, oh, it's a term of endearment. Like belching or passing gas. Oh, okay. And he goes, just a minute. It looks like I got another phone call.
I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, sure thing. Okay, hold on there, honey pie. And I'm like, wait, what did he say? And then the Love Boat theme comes on, and it's his voice. And he goes, yeah, baby, I'll be right back. You just hold tight there, lovey pie.
He comes back, okay, where were we, honey?
I'm like, I I'm a guy, right? Oh, baby, I thought we had a good thing going. So then he would call back, like, you know, like once a week or whatever. And he called me a new term of endearment. And it started off like, was like, oh, yeah, I'm so sorry that I used that term before. Hey, God, it's good to talk to you again there, honey pie, honey bunches of oats. I'm
like, honey bunches of oats?
Oh, yeah, you're my lucky charm. And then eventually he just turned it to Bran Flake.
Bran Flake. I love the flakies.
And he would just call me Flaky.
Hey, Flaky, how you doing?
So anyway, that's where that all comes from. So the earned income tax credit, yes, They changed it. They expanded it to be able to try to sucker more people and then claim they were giving them a tax cut when they weren't really cutting taxes. They were adding to the deficit. They were adding to the debt and handing out more subsidies to people because, of course, you got to get everybody in some way attached to the government teat. So to get back to our Earth Day government teat, yes, it's now 50 years old. Oh, joy. And President Biden announced $7 billion in federal grants to supply more than 900,000 low and moderate income homes, which is where we went off on our tangent, our sojourn into intellectual realms, into memory and history. Look it up. You can check it out. Just don't look up, the office of Gene Shaheen. You don't want to visit. It's, you know. But I don't know what level of hell that is, but it's, you know, you're going in the elevator. And don't ever let the elevator get you down. Oh, no, let's go. So he also declared that Americans can now apply to become the first members of the nation's climate corps that will work to tackle the climate crisis. Now, if I weren't an anarchist, if I weren't a person who wants to have as little to do with the state as possible, and does not want to draw from somebody else's dime involuntarily from, you know, somebody else's dime being forced to pay for me, I would tell all my friends, let's go work for the Climate Corps and completely screw them up. That would be awesome. You know, just, you know, like you're going around with a dune buggy out there, you know, ripping up stuff and going crazy. It would be the funniest stinking thing. And then you leave a legacy of, like, you know, the Climate Corps was absolutely destructive and left trash all over the place. But I wouldn't want to do that to the environment either. But it would be an example of how public lands are managed. And of course, the more the EPA does, the more it implies that your land is public land. And of course, from the very outset, the idea of the state claims that a portion of your land is public land anyway, because they've got to derive a portion of your earnings or what you have for your property, for property taxes, whatever, whether it's land property or money property or the property you have in yourself, they claim a chunk of it. They are the ultimate occupiers. That is the state. It assumes it can occupy your life. It just depends who's in charge, and it keeps growing. And now they assume they can occupy lives of people who haven't even been born yet. Another $1 trillion of debt every 100 days, atop a $34 trillion debt already. Good. This is swell, Mom. Couldn't get any better than this. Put the bankruptcy on a plate, Otto. You'll enjoy it more. Couldn't get any better than this, Mom. This is swell. Thanks, Repo Man, for the good times. And thanks, Mike Nesmith, for funding the film Repo Man, one of the most ingenious films ever made. Oh, man. So here it is. In aviator sunglasses, I'm glad you offered that little accoutrement to the story. Biden made the announcement against the lush green of Prince William Forest Park in Virginia as he marked Earth Day, describing the Environmental Protection Agency's Solar for All project as an effort to reduce energy costs for low and moderate income families while cutting 5 million metric tons. And here they do it, as Eric Peters and I have mentioned, carbon dioxide is not pollution, but they call it carbon pollution. It also will create 200,000 so-called good-paying union jobs over the next 5 years, he said, and they don't even have that in quotes. It's as if that's confirmed. So he's playing it up to the unions. You can see, of course, he was in front of the IBEW, and he's got his little, I'm almost doing the Hitler thing, but I can't raise my arm up that high, salute. And there you go. That's our first touch of wonderment for Earth Day. Yeah, but what are some of the roots of Earth Day? Well, let's go back in time. First with a still shot and then with some exceptional stuff that pretty much started his show today. The man I honor every day when I get up and I watch and I work and I study and I say, I hope I can come up to even half the levels of this guy's fairness and intellect and research and calmness. on the air, and wit as well. He is, of course, David Knight. We'll talk about David Knight in just a minute. But first, I want to mention another great stellar researcher and guest on this show. She has her own show, Courtney Turner. Courtney, I don't know if you're watching right now, but yesterday she posted this. This is from the Club of Rome's 1992 Global Revolution document. Now, if you are a listener of Rush Limbaugh, you are very well aware of this because, of course, they took the term global warming and they had to change it because there was no record of warming from basically the early 1990s through the mid-2000s for approximately 17 years. And that is even based on their ground-based temperature readers that they had to manipulate, and that's why ClimateGate 1 and 2 exist, and they had to hide the decline over the course of from the 1930s through the 2000s. And if you go to Real Climate Science, you'll see the two graphs. He flashes in a GIF, and he shows you how they manipulated the temperatures. First, the temperatures were going down, and then they made the temperatures go up. Amazing what they can do with those algorithms, huh? Yeah. Hey, man, he's got some rhythm. No, he's got Al Gore rhythm, and he doesn't like rock and roll. He's going to label you unlistenable and put a barcode on you. So it goes back further than that, of course, to the limits of growth document from the Club of Rome as far as documents go. And that was 20 years before this 1992 document. But in addition to that, it goes even further back than that. It goes back to people like Paul Ehrlich, who, yes, lost his bet against economist Julian Simon, who wrote the Ultimate Resource books 1 and 2, and explained that the ultimate resource is the human mind. In fact, the term resource is only applicable when a human being finds that something is valuable to him in his or her life. It is subjective, and then through testing in the market, people begin to recognize that could be a resource for me. Providers begin to recognize that could be a resource for me. So the ultimate resource in a world of scant resources that we start off with, those basics like air and water and things like that, but actually getting the water to places or storing the water, those are applications of human ingenuity that require free time and effort and one's own decision as to whether or not the effort was worth it. That's why I'm a free market economist. That's why I'm a voluntarist. All of that moral stuff of leaving your neighbors alone then translates into the economic choices people make and productivity gains and better living standards, and the ability to make things for less and then make them available to people who formerly couldn't even buy them because they were indigent, otherwise known as poor Joe Biden. Yes, so it goes back to Paul Ehrlich, and it goes back even further than that, all the way back, really, to Plato. Plato's ideas were very, very occultic. And Plato obviously believed that certain people should be in charge of the resources. And, of course, for his greatest city-state, the noble republic, the just republic, it had to be run how? On the noble lie. The people in charge would define what was truth, and they would tell the noble lie. I know, there is that perfect example of hypocrisy, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But the noble lie, very important to consider how they continue to do this through the ages. In the 1800s, it was used for eugenics. They didn't want misogyny. It was used against Catholics when they moved in here. That's one of the reasons public schools started up in the United States, government-run schools. They couldn't get them. They tried over and over and over again, even into the early 1800s. Private schools and church schools were doing it, and parents were doing it at home. They kept trying to do it in Boston, and Bulfinch, the architect, funded a study. He wanted it, and it turned out that 96% of the students around the Boston area were educated privately through sixth grade, and the qualitative difference between what a sixth grader has and even what an eighth grader or tenth grader has today, what they used to have, is totally different. You look at Common Sense by Thomas Paine. You know, like a million people read that in the colonial era. That would have been a multi-million bestseller. That would have been like Harry Potter level,
right? Shows you how many people were literate. That's why de Tocqueville was so impressed when he came over here. Ended up writing Democracy in America rather than the original plan that he had, which was to write a book about the penal system. He was going to tour prisons in the United States. And he was just so impressed by the low level of indigence and the high level of literacy and how that happened through voluntary means and private education and churches. He was really impressed, and he gave warnings about just those type of perfidious people who would try to take advantage of the so-called democracy, claim that what they wanted was for democracy, and we've seen it run through all the way through Rousseau, who hated private property, prior to Karl Marx, who sort of played off of that towards the death of the royal peerage system, as some of the former royal peers were now getting into so-called private markets, but they weren't really private markets. They had enough clout that they got, literally, they got acts of parliament passed just for themselves to take over tons of land during that period, which was called the enclosure movement period in England. And that lasted over 100 years, right? So Marx was correct in criticizing certain people in power, but he also brought about the hatred. He was able to transfer the hatred that many people had of the medieval peerage system and the class system that they had into an assumed class system for free markets. And what he was actually criticizing weren't really free markets. It's much like today when they criticize capitalism, they try to equate the mixed economy, fascism, cronyism that we have today, otherwise known as mercantilism, in 1776 when Adam Smith released the Wealth of Nations. They try to equate what that is and apply the term capitalism to it, which is why many free market economists don't use the term capitalism. They use free markets because capitalism has been sullied. It was even used by Marx to try to sully free markets. So that movement, that idea of, well, there are only limited resources, and somebody's got to control the resources. Plato had that idea. It went through Rousseau. It went through Hobbes. All the social contract people who say, you've signed this government contract. It's for your good. Even John Locke, who supposedly protected private property with his theories in the Second Treatise, they all were pushing an assumption that you sign on to it, sign on to whatever the government says. And, of course, then there are going to be some barriers up there with the Constitution. Locke at least said, you can revolt, okay? His assumption for the government actually leads to automatic revolt because he says, you know, men have the right to revolt if their rights are being trampled upon. But the rest of his superstructure is the government should exist and trample upon people's rights to protect their rights. You know, and there's a complete tautology. But anyway, so let's go back to Courtney Turner because she has one of the more recent moves with the so-called climate change MacGuffin, as David Knight would say. Stay tuned for more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. And remember, find us Monday through Friday on Rumble, Rockfin, and on my Twitter /X at Guard Goldsmith, and now on YouTube, I hope for a long time, at 6 p.m. Monday through Friday.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. Recent data indicates that inflation continues to rise. According to the Commerce Department, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, excluding food and energy, rose by 2.8% from March 2023 to March 2024. President Biden said he's willing to debate Donald Trump before the November presidential election. He made the statement Friday during an interview with radio host Howard Stern.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. I'm happy to debate him.
Trump, who declined to participate in the Republican primary debates, stated on social media he's ready to debate Biden anytime, anywhere, anyplace. King Charles is set to resume public duties next week after publicly disclosing his cancer diagnosis in February. Buckingham Palace announced that the 75-year-old royal and his wife Camilla will visit a cancer treatment center on Tuesday to meet with patients and medical staff. John Schaefer, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Let's keep rolling with our investigation into the lovely man-made holiday, of course, for collectivists to try to take more and more of our choices, our freedoms, and just the very idea of logic away from us. Earth Day on Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live. So let's go back to Courtney Turner, because she has one of the more recent moves with the so-called climate change MacGuffin, as David Knight would say. And I've got my MacGuffin t-shirt on. Oh, it's up there. It's not on the rack. It's just sort of leaning over on the side there. The common enemy of humanity is man. And if you're listening on freeworld.fm, I'm reading from her screen cap. And she writes, it's a Gaia religion. And the Club of Rome admitted it was propaganda in their Global Revolution document, 1992. The common enemy of humanity is man. That's the headline of this piece that she copied and put out there from 1992, their Global Revolution, George Goebbels' revolution. I sounded like Tom Brokaw, didn't I? Global warming. We'll see you tomorrow night. In searching, they say, for a new enemy to unite us, we came up with the idea that pollution, it's always for your protection, the threat of global warming, water shortages, famine, and the like would fit the bill. In their totality and in their interactions, these phenomena do constitute a common threat which demands the solidarity of all peoples, they tell you, Plato. But in designing them as the enemy, we fall into the trap about which we have already warned, namely, mistaking symptoms for causes. All these dangers are caused by human intervention, and it is only through changing attitudes and behavior that they can be overcome. The real enemy, then, is humanity itself. I know, you're shocked, right? Like I'm not telling you something you didn't already know. Well, now I want to give a big round of applause, and I wish I had an applause button to press this for David Knight today. He and Travis, they knocked it out of the park. They just nailed it. And Karen, got to give Karen some kudos as well. Kudos for Karen if you're watching. What a great team, David Knight Show. So if you see this on my screen, you'll see I'm not playing anything right now, but you see I've got the freeze frame from Rockfin. If you go 3 minutes and 26 seconds into the opening, just after he does the Alfred Hitchcock opening, and I get a vibe that a lot of the ladies felt a little nervous around Hitchcock, I think. I don't know how nervous, but I think, you know, slightly nervous. Some of them, not all of them. Especially the blonde ladies, I think. But I got to say, and I see Harp says all these comments on the side. It's so cool. You know, I was just thinking about people listening in Australia and everything. Only Australia, though. No, just kidding. But David opened it with this montage of footage from not the 90s, but of course the 70s, when Earth Day started. Some scenes from Boston, yeah, Logan Airport. Yeah, I know, they're housing migrants there now on people's tax cash. I know, it would be nice to have your move paid for. I know, it's great. Well, and I love it how they tell us, well, they're climate refugees. Oh, they are? You mean those people who fled Libya after the place was destroyed and fled Syria after the United States started bombing it and occupied a third of it? Ah, I guess the term war is no longer extant. You have to call it climate. I get it. That's what they're afraid of, right? Climate. Okay. And then those subsidies of paying for airfare and food and travel and giving them $10,000 debit cards and letting them hang out in Logan Airport where the rest of us have to get our gonads rubbed down. Yeah, I guess there's a little, no incentive for people to move on somebody else's dime. Well, here it is. It's all about collectivism and removal of private property. It's warmed over Rousseauism. It's warmed over, eugenics. It's warmed over, Ludditeism and all of those things combined, all going all the way back to Platonic elitism and the idea that there's some sort of great genius that comes from the occult, that comes from Mother Earth, and mankind can tap into it, whether it's brought to us by Hermes or it's brought to us by uniting all our minds into a giant gestalt. Here's this wonderful, I have to play this for you. Go please sign up for David Knight Show. You got to see this. I wanted to promote David. The minute I saw this, I'm going to say, I'm going to play maybe 35, 40 seconds of this. You got to see this.
Yet the gravity of the message of Earth Day still came through. Act or die. A good part of the effort to make this Earth Day a success was concentrated, of course, in the major population and pollution centers. We have a report on several of the big cities, beginning with Robert Shackney in Boston.
It had been a small and, it seemed, a thoroughly peaceful, non-disruptive demonstration. Students finishing Earth Day with what they called a die-in at Boston's Logan Airport.
Welcome, die.
In terms of air pollution, Chicago ranks close to the top nationally, which isn't much to sing about, but that they did at a mass rally in the Loop to mark Earth Day. Over 4,000 persons came to listen to the singing and the speeches, much less than what was expected. Among the recommendations to improve the environment, the establishment of pollution courts to quickly try offenders, and the elimination of the internal combustion engine, a suggestion no doubt aimed at purifying the city's often choking atmosphere. Mike Pappas, CBS News, Chicago.
Another speaker who vowed as a college girl never to bear children and who works now with Planned Parenthood, Stephanie Mills.
I think that it's terribly important for us to begin to involve ourselves in politics so that we can turn the system around.
You might remember that there was a period when on the whole Earth appeared to be cooling. Well, that changed. During the 80s, we had a much better, more precise representation of temperatures. The data sets were scrubbed, and at least two groups.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had much better representation, not real measurements. As David has said, as you probably have said, I don't want to be too assumptive, but they're trying to compare temperatures from, say, the beginning of the century and the end of the century. They're trying to compare temperatures from the 2021 era to, say, 1721. You know, mercury thermometers, they're trying to compare data with temperature readers subsidized by the government that are on airport tarmacs. And don't even comport with the satellite data that they get that aren't on airport tarmacs and outside air conditioning vents. It's just such a clown show. And these people eat it up. So does NPR.
Earth is warming.
In the beginning of the summer of 1988, there was a big international conference held at Toronto, which was just one more in these series of conferences that the press hadn't paid much attention to. But it happened that the summer of 1988 was unusually hot. It was unusual drought. There was all kinds of bad weather things going on, and reporters converged on the Toronto conference and started to spend a lot of attention to it. And the Toronto conference final report said, global warming is a really big problem, and policymakers got to do something about it.
The weather in the Cernu Ita area continues fair, very fair. Now, in the central portion, there's a
this
low
was a pretty
pressure
good
area.
I definitely enjoyed that, but just pause it right there.
High
great
velocity.
Stuff from David Knight. And, yeah, you know, it's amazing that the collective has gotten this far to the point where, yes, of course, they can regulate the type of car you buy, all these different kinds of things, going all the way over into, yes, get this, you've got to be very sensitive. I'm going to mention this one again. You've got to be very, very sensitive because, yes, same-sex couples are vulnerable to the negative effects of climate change. I mentioned this last night on the show. Chaya Raichik put this out. This is from the LA Blade. And she wrote, new, climate change is homophobic. Oh, man. So you got one canard piled up on top of another canard. Same-sex couples, couple households, disproportionately live in coastal areas, cities, and areas with poorer infrastructure and less access to resources. Oh, there's that term, resources. How do you define that? I don't know. It's so interesting, isn't it? Well, let's take the opportunity now to delve a little bit further into the Earth Day stuff. And for that, I'm going to turn to Rumble and the MRC TV channel on Rumble, because there's even more coming about, you know what, climate change. This, we got to mention this one on the show yesterday, and this is my new video. They put it together. Let me give it to you. There might be one of those ads popping up here, so let me make sure I got it all covered. And, yeah, here we are. Look, they even did really cool graphics. Good team at MRC TV. Decommission deception. This will show you how honest they are. And I mentioned a lot of things in my article last night. I read a little bit of it. But as I mentioned, I figured they would probably have the video out today. So here it is, everybody. Get ready. Here we go. Oh, we're going to have an ad, of course. Oh, but I already turned the volume down. That's good. So that's it. I'm psyched. Hey, by the way, also, thank you so much for watching in X. We're seeing the numbers rising over in X. I really appreciate that. And let me know if you're getting the volume and everything, guys. Give me the thumbs up on the volume stuff. I just want to make sure that you're getting sound appropriately there. And Taylor Saunders, Tom Cooper, well, nice to have there, everybody. So, yeah, just let me know that you're getting the proper audio, okay? Here we go. Let's check it out, my friends. As they say, check it out now, Funk Soul Brother. Oh, yeah. All right. Tom Cooper, man. I love that Misfits thing. Yeah, give me the heads up. I'm going to start up. Here we go. Exposing the collectivist... It's with mixed feelings that one reports on yet another revelation exposing the collectivist climate cult and many of its tax-funded members. On the one hand, each inexcusable and stunning example of bias and underhanded data manipulation adds to the library of extant evidence telling the world about this ridiculous, idiotic grift. And that's heartening, since it makes the ripoff and the wrongdoers ever more obvious.
On the other hand, it's frustrating to know how long many people have been warning a relatively numb populace about the illegitimate claims and backroom deals, the fascist politicians and bureaucrats playing favorites with what they variously describe as electric, green, sustainable, carbon neutral, stakeholder, and so on, business interests, and the so-called scholars who back them and also get a portion of the filthy lucre. Perhaps because we battle entrenched media and a special interest cabal who stifle us, we've had to wait a long time before sizable numbers of people worldwide have caught on to our warnings and investigations. But this time, the news is so massive. Perhaps even your neighbor wearing his Anthony Fauci for Emperor t-shirt and buying so-called carbon credits actually might be hearing the news. Hi, everyone. I'm Gardner Goldsmith for MRC TV. And the news is the revelation that more than 30% of the so-called temperature stations on which the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, relies for its manipulated mixture of temperature data is fabricated make-believe for a make-believe crisis in order to hand politicians here and in international agencies alarming reports about how close our use of efficient petrochemical energy is taking us to their fantastical climate apocalypse. Katie Spence reports for the Epoch Times, quote, when recalling past temperatures to make comparisons to the present and, more importantly, inform future climate policy, officials such as, this would be UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, Mr. Guterres, and President Biden, rely in part on temperature readings from the United States Historical Climatology Network, USHCN. The network was established to provide an accurate, unbiased, up-to-date historical climate record for the United States. NOAA states, and it has recorded more than 100 years of daily maximum and minimum temperatures from stations across the United States. And, of course, the evidence suggests that they're far, far from accurate and unbiased. Well, we all know how much they care. They care so much that rather than ask us for our money, as peaceful people might do, and rather than having open debates and showing their data and sources from the outset, the big movers and shakers behind the NOAA reports, and by the way, have a fun time trying to find NOAA in the Constitution, well, the big shakers behind the NOAA reports take our cash through compulsion and appear revealed as the fabricators that scandals such as ClimateGate 1 and 2 showed many of the UN's International Panel on Climate Change, IPCC, climate researchers seemed to be. It looks like this unscrupulous method of caring with our cash is being exposed even more. Quote, they're physically gone, but still report data like magic, said Lieutenant Colonel John Shuchuk, a certified consulting meteorologist. NOAA fabricates temperature data for more than 30% of the 1,218 USHCN reporting stations that no longer exist. As Spence knows, Shuchuk calls these ghost stations, almost the flip side of what occurred when the Soviet Union collapsed in the 1990s, when the USSR stopped funding temperature stations in Siberia. Now, those closures eliminated a large chunk of relatively cooler temperatures from the IPCC datasets, but the so-called climate researchers, well, they didn't compensate for the change in their data pool, which then had a higher ratio of temperature stations from, yeah, you got it, warmer regions. Quote, Mr. Shuchuk said USHCN stations reached a maximum of 1,218 stations in 1957. But after 1990, the number of active stations began declining due to aging equipment and personnel retirements. NOAA still records data from those ghost stations by taking the temperature readings from surrounding stations and recording their average for the ghost station, followed by an E for estimate. The addition of the ghost station data means NOAA's monthly and yearly reports are not representative of reality, said Anthony Watts, a meteorologist and senior fellow for environment and climate at the Heartland Institute. If this kind of process were used in a court of law, then the evidence would be thrown out as being polluted. And that is precisely a major part of the problem underlying the political and pop media climate scam. They assume foremost two things. First, they assume that government can make a claim for damage and tell people what their peaceful activity costs the world. That's not only impossible and arrogant, it's an arrogation of private tort action. But of course, politicians know that most people are unaware of this, and they claim to be the protectors, the paladins, forbidding peaceful use of engines and oil heat and natural gas and coal via ex-ante diktats, without anyone actually bringing a personal injury tort suit against a user of fuel. As a result, and as Watts notes, there is no argument, no evidence put before a jury. There's only propaganda, data manipulation, and threats to shut down our freedom of choice, of travel, and even of speech. Quote, Mr. Shuchuk said the USHCN data is the only long-term historical data the United States has. In these days of apparent climate crisis, you would think that maintaining actual temperature reporting stations would be a top priority, but they instead manufactured data for hundreds of non-existent stations. This is a bizarre way of monitoring a climate claimed to be an existential threat, he said. Observed data is real. Altered and fabricated data is not. Period. The website NOAA Crappy lists all of the ghost or zombie stations, their location, how long they've been closed, and then links to NOAA's recordings. And what about the second part of this? Will this news spread? Will people with heart and a devotion to honesty tell their friends and try to expose the conniving political thugs? They'd better act quickly. After all, President Biden Friday further restricted oil and gas drilling on so-called federal land in Alaska, an edict that reminds us that the U.S. government has zero constitutionally granted power to run land in Alaska. Indeed, Alaskan Senator Dan Sullivan, a Republican, just spoke up to protest Biden's move. The fight isn't over, but it's not lost. If truthful, concerned people call the politicians and their tax-fed climate fear sycophants to task, if people remind others about the insane sources of the data, such as these ghost stations and stations located on airport tarmacs, a few more folks might scratch their heads and wonder. The deeper problems concerning the cost of carbon penalties that the feds are working hard to shut down farms and stop grazing on land and penalize businesses with. And how about all those subsidies to EV makers? All the other grifts and grafts involved with this and penalties that they're imposing on people or want to impose on people. Well, those all deserve lots of sanitizing light as well. But right now, with this information, we can open a few more eyes. So let's get out the info. Thank you for watching, one and all. Please like and follow us on Rumble, where they don't censor us. Yes.
All right. And I want to just jump in real quick. And I want to go full screen right now because I just got to check YouTube and one of my good buddies from Australia, Tim Humphreys, is watching. Tim, thank you for your comment, buddy. It's so good to see you there, mate. It's so good to see you. I hope everything's going well out there in Queensland, my man. Oh, man, do I miss it. And Harps, if you're watching, thank you. I hope you guys get to meet each other someday. Maybe we can bring you both on sometime as guests from down under, just to prove that there is a southern hemisphere and that the Southern Cross does exist. I've seen it. And yes, the water does go down the drain the other direction. Oh, man. So I hope you liked that one, and I hope you found that worthwhile. I was really glad that the MRC-TV team was nice enough to let me put that together. I want to go back to David Knight's video here and just remind everybody of what we saw a couple seconds ago about the manipulation of the data set as we see Mr. Spence in just a second. Here we go.
In the beginning of the summer...
Spencer Wirt.
There was a big international conference held at Toronto, which was just one more in these series of conferences that the press hadn't paid much attention to. But it happened that the summer of 1988 was unusually hot. It was unusual drought. There was all kinds of bad weather things going on, and reporters converged on the Toronto conference and started to spend a lot of attention to it. And the Toronto conference final report said global warming is a really big problem and policymakers got to do something about it.
And of course, they will participate in perpetual gaslighting because how dare you stand against it? You must conform because the little guy is going to get hurt, just like we saw with Joe Biden with all the subsidies. So, Tim, if you want to move to the U.S. and join me in joining their climate army and then subverting it, let's go for it, man. Let's give it a shot. That would be fun. Oh, man, just leaving all sorts of havoc in our wake. We could be like the Blues Brothers, you know, driving through a mall. Woo! Hooray for climate! Yeah. There's more Liberty Conspiracy on Free Talk Live coming up. Remember, find us Monday through Friday on Rumble, Rockfin, and on my Twitter /X at Guard Goldsmith. And you can also now find us, as long as they allow us to stay there, on YouTube, 6 p.m., Monday through Friday, Eastern Time. And do visit my Substack. That's the Gardner Goldsmith Substack. Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash with BitRefill.com, where you can buy gift cards from big retailers, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Thanks to Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.